Now we have David Grimm, the editor for our daily news site. He's here to talk about some recent online stories. I'm Sarah Crespi. First up, we have a story on denser diamonds. Diamonds are the least compressible material in the world, meaning that making them denser using pressure is incredibly difficult. But researchers using an extremely high-tech facility in California have done just that. Let's start with the facility, Dave. What is its actual function?
This is the National Ignition Facility. It's located in Livermore, California. It's a pretty impressive piece of equipment. It spans 10 meters. It's armed with scores of lasers. And it's so visually impressive that it was actually used, little trivia fact here, as the warp core of the Starship Enterprise in the 2013 movie Star Trek Into Darkness. But it has a more practical purpose as well. Researchers use it for some basic science. They investigate how various materials respond when compressed. It's also been used to trigger nuclear fusion, which is the same type of reaction that powers the sun, as a way to hopefully someday solve our energy needs.
So in this case, they focused all this pressure onto a diamond. What happened to the diamond? Did it turn into a very small diamond?
They trained 176 lasers on the diamond. And what they found is that they were able to actually squeeze this diamond to compress it so much that it reached a pressure of 50 million atmospheres. And that's 14 times greater than the pressure at Earth's center.
And so the diamond structure changed?
The diamond turned to dust.
Okay.
But right before it did, it became very dense. It actually became denser than lead and 12 times as dense as water. A normal diamond is only about 3 times as dense as water.
So the point of putting all this pressure on these precious stones is because it can tell us about other planets. How does that work?
Well, that's definitely one application of this research. A lot of planets actually have very intense internal pressures, even much more intense than Earth's. For example, Jupiter's core has a pressure of between 40 and 90 million atmospheres. And so you're talking about a diamond that reached a pressure of 50 million atmospheres. You're starting to get a sense of what might be going on in the center of these planets. There's actually some worlds out there that have been proposed to be composed of diamond. So this particular research may provide even more accurate information about what's going on in the center of these planets.
Next up, we have a story on sexual harassment. Gender in science is a fraught topic. Why is the representation of women low in certain fields? Are certain fields safer for women than others? In a report this week, a survey of scientists is bringing to light sexual harassment in the field. So, Dave, this isn't the first survey of its kind. What's the backstory here?
Well, this is a group of researchers that actually a couple of years ago started surveying some colleagues in the field of biological anthropology. This was prompted by one of the authors. Her friend had actually been raped in the field, and this scientist wondered if there was more things like this going on. So they conducted a survey that was reported last year that showed that there was a high incidence of sexual harassment, at least in biological anthropology. And in this new study, the researchers wanted to survey a much broader field. They wanted to look at several fields of science, the life sciences, the physical sciences, the social sciences, and just get a much larger pool of researchers to see if this was a much more endemic problem to all of science.
So how did they go about broadening out their survey? Where did they collect the data?
They got a lot of information from the internet. They pinged people on email, on social networks, online groups where scientists tend to hang out. And at the end of the day, they received 666 responses that represented researchers from about 30 nations, 32 different scientific disciplines.
Looking across this new, larger sample, did they see any trends?
What they did see was definitely that across all these samples, they saw a disturbing amount of sexual harassment. This includes things like comments, sexually charged comments, to inappropriate touching, to even things like rape. And what they found was that about 64% of the survey respondents reported that they had been personally sexually harassed. A vast majority of these were women, although there were some men that also reported harassment. And also a vast majority were younger researchers, which you might expect because these are the type of researchers that are more likely to be taken advantage of by potentially a project leader or somebody who has a position of authority in a research group.
Is there any sense that the subjects might be self-selecting into the survey?
Well, that's one concern. When you put out a survey like this, the concern is that the people that have been harassed are going to be much more likely to respond to the survey, and therefore you're going to get a biased sample.
Is this the kind of numbers that we're seeing here comparable to what has been found in other workplaces?
It seems to be. There had been another survey that was done on medical trainees, and that found that 22% of males and 73% of females had also experienced workplace sexual harassment. So this doesn't seem to be a problem that's just confined to the scientific community.
Lastly, we have a story on the link between pleasure and pot. Marijuana is gaining status in this country and others, becoming legal in Colorado and Uruguay. But scientists still don't know everything about how it works and what its effects are on the brain. Why has studying this been so difficult?
Well, marijuana is actually a pretty complicated substance chemically. There's a lot going on, plus you have a lot of different strains, so it's hard to tell if different strains impact people differently. And there's just been not a lot of research done on it because, as you mentioned, Sarah, it hasn't been legal in some places until recently, which has made it very hard to conduct these studies.
This study looked at some unexpected side effects in the brain of people who use marijuana regularly. What exactly were they looking at?
Well, they looked at very heavy users of marijuana. These are people that smoked an average of 5 joints a day, 5 days a week for 10 years. And the researchers were particularly looking at a chemical called dopamine in the brain, which is the main ingredient in the brain's reward system. It's the chemical that tells you after you do something pleasurable, like, hey, that was great, let's do it again. Other research on drugs like cocaine and alcohol has shown that people that abuse these drugs have less dopamine in their brains, so their reward center is damaged, and that might cause them to abuse these drugs to get that reward back.
And so when they took a close look at the brains of these heavy pot users, how did they stack up against people who abstain?
Well, what the researchers did is actually gave these heavy pot users the drug Ritalin, which should stimulate the amount of dopamine in the brain. And what they found was that compared to controls, the heavy pot users actually had about the same amount of dopamine, but they didn't seem to be responding to that dopamine as well. So, for example, the controls had increased heart rates and increased blood pressure, and they reported feeling restless and high. The marijuana abusers didn't, which suggested that somehow their brains didn't seem to be responding to the dopamine.
Is it possible to tell causality in this situation? Might these people do this drug because of low dopamine levels?
And that's a great question. That's something that this study doesn't answer. It's also possible that the brains of marijuana users just respond differently to Ritalin than those of the controls, which could also be a confounding factor here. And then there's the issue of how many people actually smoke pot this hardcore, smoking 5 joints a day, 5 days a week for 10 years. One of my colleagues will go unnamed, says he lives in the pot capital of the world and he doesn't know anybody that smokes that much. So that could have also potentially biased the results. And if you want to hear a little bit more about this, we've actually got a Q&A with a researcher who keeps an eye on marijuana research and some of his thoughts about studies like this and what they tell us and also how politics plays into them.
Okay, so what else is on the site this week, Dave?
Well, Sarah, we've got a story about how ancient viruses are still showing up in human DNA. Also a story about scientists trying to decode bird songs using computer algorithms. For Science Insider, our policy blog, we've got a story about two new proposed dark matter experiments in the U.S. Also a story about whether labs should be creating dangerous pathogens in order to study them. So be sure to check out all these stories on the site.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Sarah.
David Grimm is the editor for our online daily news site. I'm Sarah Crespi. You can check out the latest news and the policy blog, Science Insider, at news.sciencemag.org. This segment is part of the Science Podcast. You can hear the whole show on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and the Science website, www.sciencemag.org.